Hello, everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. This is actually take number two, because we had some audio issues, and we decided to re-record this entire entrance. I didn't want to place blame, okay?
We didn't even have to mention this was. They would have never have known. You didn't say anything.
That's what I'm saying. But I am back a couple days after the trip to Milan for the first ever sector qualifier. And if you had not checked out the videos on YouTube, I did a mini series on that entire experience. It's on YouTube, so feel free to watch. Please like and subscribe if you do. It's really motivating because we want to give away free stuff. And what better way to get motivated than for people to watch our stuff? To watch things and follow us on our social media. We have a lot to talk about today, but we're not going to go an hour. We never do. So I think that's by design. But we're going to do the first part of our segment, which is the collection kind of update and stuff like that. And then we'll go on to Meta, and then we'll talk about the entire Milan trip at the end of this episode. So Corey, what you got for us?
Well, speaking of social medias, we did have a contest last week that you mentioned in your solo podcast that you ran, where we're giving away an Akbar showcase, which if you're watching the YouTube, you will see it on screen. Here you go. So the requirement for that was having 100 followers on social media across Blue Sky and Instagram, those two platforms specifically. Mm-hmm. And we did hit that number. So we ran the contest, random number generator, and the winner of the Akbar showcase is Ty Swu on Instagram, TYSWU on Instagram. So we will reach out to you this week sometime to get the details to get the Akbar showcase out to you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And keep following those channels because we will definitely have more giveaways and more opportunities to interact with the show.
Oh, and yeah, Gil putting definitely out hit tweets, or sorry, yes, Blue Sky posts. What are they even called? I don't even know.
I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't.
But
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's we had a lot of interesting stuff come out. So check those. Keep your eye on those, and you know, we'll be there. But yeah, as far as the collection goes, it's been a little slower just now that we're in. It's more about like the tweaking of the decks. So I'm kind of set on my Jump to Lightspeed collection. I'm assuming you guys aren't really adding anything new other than like variant skill got some cool stuff.
I mean, I might have gotten some variants,
but yeah, as far as the state of the collection goes for me personally, it's more tweaking my decks now. And oh, I'm sorry, I did get something pretty crazy.
He pulled another showcase.
Are you kidding me?
I have a Lando showcase.
Wait, with a pack? Just a random pack?
So like, I'm addicted to Whatnot. packs on there randomly because you can snipe, right? Like, so basically it's an auction and people buy stuff. And so like, oh, nothing's hit so far in a while. I was like, sure, I'll try one. I got a Lando showcase. I also got, I don't think I mentioned because our podcast, I don't know, it got removed or whatever, but I got a Fennec showcase as well.
Oh, that? No, you didn't talk about that last week. We did not talk about
right.
that last week.
Yeah, so he's pulled another two showcases in the last week.
So, yeah, it's been a good showcase. I'm like, oh man, I did not think I would be this deep in the showcase. Like, I got in the first three sets, I had two showcases, right? Yeah, three showcases total in the first three sets combined. And I opened way more product there than I have.
Wow!
Since Jump Lightspeed has come out,
so this is
and
what
that's
it means.
Carbonite boxes, right? Like,
dude, not even. I mean, it's RNG at this point. Like, eventually, it slings back, right? And you just didn't have
in a big way. Like, this is crazy.
I mean,
he's just gonna never pull a showcase again, basically.
Well, that's Rob. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's gonna have no showcases for Legends of the Force, and we're gonna have like 10 of them. Yep. And he's gonna be so jealous. That's what's gonna happen.
It's the final plus one aura to showcase is gonna swing back in our favor, and we're just gonna be giving it to each other. Is that what you're telling me? Like, right now it's stacked up on Corey, and you know, so he's got plus two, but then we're gonna swing it back and we're both gonna have plus one.
But
that's how it's gonna work.
But Rob, you also
you're two for two on
I am two for two. Well, no. Okay, actually, so I did get a third carbonite box. I found one at a local store, and so I did not get another serialized nor another showcase, but I'm 2 for 3.
66% chance of getting a serial card. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's ridiculous. This is where it's funny. Like, honestly, our RNG is like, I feel like hits our modes. Like, your collector, like Corey, so like when it hits, it's freaking hitting like a lot, right?
Right.
Rob has like a good steady of like the good hits. Like, I would love to have two serial cards rather than like two showcases. You know what I mean?
Which is funny because I'm like kind of the other way around because I play a lot of different decks. But
right. I know. And
well, because you're the more of the player, not the collector, right? So mm-hmm. For me, I'm the same way. There's Gil. Like, I want the serials because I'm more of the collector. I know I probably will never play these cards, like non-serialized versions of these cards, Shadowcaster and Invincible. Those are my serials. I probably will never play those cards, but I love having the serials. So,
yeah. And then whatever happened for me, it was like I got one serial and then like a couple showcases. So I kind of split the difference between you two. Mm. It's kind of funny.
You got good ones, though. You got good showcases.
I did.
You got three Akmars.
I sold the Ventress to. Because I need mm-hmm. money back, but I still have the Vader. I think I'm going to actually trade that.
We're going to talk about it, but Legends of the Force, I think Ventress might be real good.
I know, I think I made a mistake.
but anyway, right. I do want to mention one more thing, because the Fennec Showcase, I got it from a Shadows box, a booster box. We had our local on Thursday at Mythicos in Randolph, and they had a Shadows box. And I was like, I could really use a Kylo's Tie that's not foil, because I have... two foils in my deck. I was like, man, do I risk it just for a Kylo's Tie? He's like, Kylo's Ties are $30, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, well, I can risk it because I could spend $30 on the tie, or I can risk it in this box for $75, whatever it was. I was like, it's only like, it's like just double. It's like two Kylo's Ties. I get a whole box. It's like, yeah. You know what? I'm going to do it. And so I got it and I pulled a Kylo's Tie in my first pack. And then my last pack was the Fennec Showcase. Plus, I got a triple dark
in there.
Yeah, yep. That's crazy.
And a Darksaber. And that's good stuff. Kylo Ren. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, I posted it on the Blue Sky. So.
Yep. All right, yeah. So, I mean, a bunch of showcases. And it's pretty good that you got, like, all these really good cards with that Shadows box. Because if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, it's really sad. So it's awesome that you did that.
But it's crazy to think how the Shadows, like, we all like Shadows is so bad compared to Spark. And now we look at it like Shadows is pretty good.
Shadows is pretty good. Well, I mean, and the only thing to your point, Gil, it's like if you got that Shadows box and you got a bad box, like it was, they were, you know, mapped. Like, so you, if you got a bad box, you knew you got a bad box.
Oh, yeah.
You open a pack, two packs, and you're like, well, this box is garbage. I don't even have to open the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of garbage, seems like the meta seems to not be happy, or a lot of people don't seem to be happy with the meta. So we could talk about that, Rob. sorry to give you that news. Your boy Django is just too good. If you want to talk about that for a second, or do you think everyone will be just sad to hear about it?
I mean, we can talk about it quickly, but like, because I don't want to belabor the point. You know. Django has been that shell of the deck has been strong for a long time. Django kind of took it over the edge in set three, and set four, you've now got three tools in the deck that are just bananas with Django. And it has a lot to do with like when Django flips in relation to when these things come out. So if you haven't played against a Django deck, I'd be shocked because they were 60 of 80 at Milan in the top 80 or something like that. Yeah.
Well, we could talk about the top 16, probably. Like,
that's it. Well, yeah, top 16, more... it was 15 of 16, 7 of 8, 3 of 4, and then, you know, 2 of 2 and the winner eventually. So, like, when you look at that representation, there was one deck that was not Django in the entire top 16.
Piet Yellow. That deck was so sick. Like, it actually started shredding through the Django's, and, like, the guy lost the second game. He whiffed on like a TDR or something. He didn't pull anything that he needed. And this is the Piet player, I think. Like, it wasn't the Django player. Because this guy was like, he was shredding through Django's. Like, it was like nothing. And his board state was crazy, like half, like all the time.
I believe it. It's something that I thought about with Piet as well. You don't get as many of the big blue ships, but you still have all the big green ships, and they're all coming out cheaper. So, you know, and then you're advancing it even quicker with TDR. So it makes sense. But I as far as Django is concerned, I think that one of the biggest issues right now is the fact that Django flips on five, and then next turn you can drop the War Juggernaut, which taps the board. The likelihood of killing Django on his flip turn, like, unless you're waiting for it, which is what you kind of have to do, but in a Django mirror, you don't really have the tools to do it necessarily. Mm-hmm. You're basically getting into a situation where it's like, okay, Django flips, and then you drop the War Juggernaut the next turn, everybody taps down everybody, and it just becomes a slog fest. And it kind of comes down to, does your opponent draw the Devastator before you draw the Devastator? Because I played that mirror a number of times. But against every other deck, that is debilitating. It's pretty hard to deal with. And then on top of it, you can still hit the War Juggernaut off of TDR on resource four and tap a key thing, deal damage to the entire board, and have that thing deal like seven or eight damage a lot of times, because you probably hit, you know, four or five different targets, because you can hit your own stuff too. And you at least hit the War Juggernaut itself off of a TDR, because it's just going to buff itself and then go back to your hand. So it's a very, very strong play, and it's skewing the meta, as it turns out. So I don't know. I mean, I think what we're going to see is, they've been talking about, you know, there's going to be a competitive update sometime this week. My guess is as the meme says, we recognize that there is a competitive disparity, but we do not grant the rank of ban. To quote some movies.
Yeah, I don't think it's, because Django is beatable. Like, it's not like it is beatable. I think the issue is that, like, there are certain decks that, like, again, that counter it, that are also easily counterable, and people want to have like a really wide, like, breadth of what their deck can do. Like I feel like a hard control deck is gonna just beat Django, like, if they exist. But the only thing that stopped them is because Han 1 existed in the meta, but there was like no Han 1s like that were playing. And I think that's going to maintain, because, like, Django's a hard counter to that at this point. Like, you're not going to be able to beat it.
I don't think as much. Han 1 Yellow? I think Han 1 Yellow has an okay matchup against Django.
I don't know,
man.
It used to be a lot better.
It's okay. Like, if you saw, there was the Milan sector, but then there was also the Bothan Network Invitational in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the 1K or 6K was a Han 1 player. And Han 1 player, like, specifically did very well against Django. Like, so if you're a good Han 1 player, and you know this, you know Philip, he's obviously one of the best. Like, so it's hard to say for sure, but he also convinced Alex to switch back to Han 1 because he wasn't playing him.
Because he took it. Yeah.
but they both did very well against Django's. The thing that gets me, and which bothers me a little bit, is that it's cunning. If you notice, every top deck is running cunning. Right?
That's, you just probably mentioned
Piet Yellow.
Probably,
is, yeah. Was, yeah, cunning. Quinlan is cunning, obviously. You have Han 1, you have Django's, obviously, and Cad Bane, right? All of those decks are yellow decks. And then what was doing well for you, Gil? Blonde Sabine,
yeah. It's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, every competitive deck, it seems like, right now is running Cunning. You cannot leave Cunning out, because the tools that Cunning has are so good at the cost that they're coming out that it's just not worth, like, doubling down on red, like, aggression, double aggression, or double green, or double blue. It's like, you have to be either double yellow or some form of yellow at this point, some form of cunning to be competitive.
Yeah.
There is a bit of an argument to that, particularly villainous cunning is very strong. Like, TDR is a triple dark raid for the non-regular players on this, is a card that is just very, very powerful for what it does and when it does it. So for three cost, you get to tutor to the top 7 cards of your deck. You have to pull a vehicle, but you just make your deck mostly vehicles. You get to play it at a discount of 5. So you can, on turn 4, hit a 6-cost ship, which often are very, very powerful ships. Things like Ruthless Raider or the War Juggernaut or, you know, a number of other things. So you're pseudo-ramping. You get to attack with it, and then you get card advantage because it comes back to your hand. So it does so many different things for a cost of 3. It's a very, very strong card. And that's not the only one. That's kind of the other thing. Like, you know, Waylay is still just really good. It basically keeps using just about any upgrade off the board, because you can play an upgrade, and if there's, you know, a cunning deck in the meta, which there are a lot of them now, there's a good chance that you play that upgrade on something. It's like, cool. And then your opponent goes and waylays it back to your hand and destroys the upgrade that you just played. So it's why I don't think we're probably seeing a lot of pilots right now, because it particularly in Constructed, because you, unless you're able to play the pilot and attack with it, which I only think Han does that, right?
Yeah, Han will attack when you play him.
Yeah, like Luke, that, can't be that's it.
Yeah, Luke, you can't bounce off though.
So. Yeah, Luke and Luke,
Chewbacca, you can't defeat or remove, I think, too.
But you can bounce the ship still, so like you can't right? Because you can still target.
No,
you can still
the ship gets. You can't waylay the ship. I don't think. I think he gets the ability that.
Yeah.
Chewie has.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, that's why Chewie's pretty good against
Luke
control.
Can be defeated is what I think it
yeah.
is. So.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, again, there's a lot of action efficiency in yellow in general and cunning, and then you have cunning the actual card, so in double yellow, like cunning on 4 is just bananas. Yeah. Like it plus 4 attack to anything, bouncing 2 things, or sorry, tapping 2 things or bouncing something.
Or discarding,
like,
even.
Yeah, or just discarding a card. Like, all the options are really good. Early it was Vigilance, and Vigilance felt good on 6 and feels even better on 4, but cunning on 4 is just bonkers.
So, really, the meta really needs to consider what to do with cunning, not necessarily... Django just seems to be the most recent recipient of the most most benefit, yeah. But at the end of the day, it's actually the cunning aspect that is probably more overpowered than a lot of the other aspects, which I would agree with. I mean, like you said, there's just a lot going on with cunning that, like, it's for the cost that whatever it's trying to do for its cost is just amazingly good, like, generally speaking, right?
And like we said, I mentioned last week with the Lost Podcast, Bamboozle is like can be played for 0 cost with any deck. You just have to discard a yellow card and you play it for free. You just ignore the cost.
That's crazy.
So if you have the card advantage, it's just do it. In like a blue yellow.
So do you think overall the meta is healthy right now?
Healthy is it's an interesting question, because I think there's a lot of interesting decks that are out there. But the problem is, if you want to be competitive, you are running Django, or you're running a hard counter to Django, which then loses to the other decks. So it's not great, I would say. And I do think that something has to change.
And I don't know what that is, because again, like, we can talk about it in terms of, like, there are staple cards that you see in every deck, in yellow, for example, that define the color, right? But they also are defining the meta. Waylay's one of them, Triple Dark's one of them, Cunning is one of them. You know, those 3 cards, you know, there are other cards that do similar things, but those 3 cards alone kind of form the shape of what's going well, and sorry, and Surprise Strike as well. Because just like a three cost pump for 2 three power pump for 2 is really, really strong. And you immediately attack with it, so it's not like you play it and then you have to wait. You play it, you attack, you get that plus 3. It's good. Like, and in any burn based deck, that's what you're gonna have, and that's why aggro is really strong.
Those 3 cards that you mentioned, then, which one or
ones?
Would you say has to go then, or none of them would go?
Well,
and you would do something with
I
the
mean,
leaders.
I mean, the thing is like, I do think that there, even with Cunning, there is a bit of a leader problem still at the end of the day. Like Django being able to basically tap the board down without even having to activate is very strong. Granted, this is only on his flip turn, but even doing it off of his flip turn is still, you basically have an exhaust built in for free for something that you're doing with your deck, kind of regardless. I mean, you're building it to it, but like you were doing it anyway, kind of. So it's just, it's a free ability that goes into, and like that's where the strength in a lot of the, if you look at all the leaders that are popular for the most part, they don't really require you to take a separate action to do something with them.
There's an action economy there. I mean, but even then, like you didn't see any Kazuto. You didn't see, you know, and that one's like a free action as well. I think part of it is just like people, Django was good previous set. So why people have the most experience with that? So that's why it showed up really well the first week. I honestly think that even starting next week at the Denver and Liverpool sector qualifiers, you're going to see people coming after Django hard. Right.
Yeah. Like, very much agreed.
So,
because that's the, right. If you're playing Django, then you're going to be the target, right? So, do you want to be the target, or do you want to be the one going after the target? That's where the question you got to ask yourself when you're going into these big tournaments. But like, I was always for just let the players figure it out, game like settle and stuff. But at this point, with what we've seen, and with how Cunning is, like, it's hard for me to say. This game is in a good spot because for players that are more casual, it just feels bad. Like Triple Dark Raid, when you have six resources and you drop Devastator with Triple Dark Raid, like the other opponent, like it's, you can't do anything. It's 13 damage for a three cost card, or it's six resources.
It's six resources,
But
yeah,
like,
it's pretty brutal.
That's 13 damage.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty
crazy if you don't have an answer for that.
I mean, I will say that, like, you know, I played Blonde Sabine, and I didn't lose to a Django all weekend. I'm just gonna say that right now.
How
like,
many did you play?
I mean, I didn't play even the main tournament, which is my fault because again, I made a critical mistake as I always do, and I decided to play a deck that I had no experience with because I thought I was good in Tomato. So, like, I just overthinking as usual. And
always
honest,
play a deck that you're more familiar with.
Always play you're comfortable with. And like what I ended up doing when I played Sabine, and I wrecked people, and it wrecked them. That's a lie. I did well, and I got lucky a lot with some card draws. I think I did play better than I normally would. But like, I didn't lose to any Djangos, any sets anyway. I might have lost one game, but like there would be turns where like they couldn't do nothing to me, and I would hit like 21 in two turns. You know, so
no, that's awesome. But again, it's yellow.
Yeah, you're right. It's yellow
because you're not playing green. Like, I built that green Sabine like with Chewies and Lukes and Blue Leader. It's not good. Like, I felt bad when I was playing it.
I played a mirror against Sabine green, or not a mirror, but I played against Sabine green as well, and it was a tough matchup. I got lucky because he wasn't drawing any of his space units, but I mean, I beat him. For whatever it's worth, with Blonde Sabine. Yeah, Cunning is for the sets pretty crazy. Anyway. Yeah, so we talked a lot about the meta. I think a lot of people I would venture to guess a lot of people agree with what we're saying. If you disagree, let us know. I would love to hear the comments. Yes. Like share that. Send me an email at gil@padawanlimited.com, or if you're watching this on YouTube, with a comment or question. Put it in the comments and we'll make sure we address it. Or the socials, yeah. Socials really did do well this past weekend. It blew up. I mean, before the weekend started, we had like no blue sky, and we had like 70-ish, 60-ish Instagram followers, and now we're closing on like 80, 90 on Instagram and like 30 on blue sky. I mean, hey. Keeping it small, keeping it tight. I like that, actually. We're not trying to own the world here. But slow and steady growth is
casual
really
try hard.
Casual try hard. That's casual what it's all about. So we got like 15 minutes left. What else do you guys want to talk about?
I had a couple about how you had to pee in a bush.
Yeah. So I heard some Padawan Unlimited guy. I don't know who he is. Oh, by the way, you got a shout out on the stream, the Bothan Network stream, McClunky stream.
I did.
They shouted you out. Like one of the announcer commentators said they played you and like you were a super cool guy and that you played a certain day. They talked about you like for a good bit actually. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool. On the stream? Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Gil's internet famous, baby.
Yeah. Oh, that's
good. So, because leave an impression, you know? That's good.
Yeah.
When you're friendly and sociable and like welcoming to the game, you know, that helps.
There was a lot of cool people there. I will say that like every person I met was really friendly. Like I would randomly go up, like just be like looking at somebody, not creepily, but be like, they're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, hey. And they would like, be like, hey, who's winning? We would be watching the stream on the TV. Mm. Yeah. Or, I met like a really cool German group, Polish group. I played against some French people that were really, really good. I wish I knew more languages. Like these guys are just like, they just know so much stuff, more stuff than me. I'm not going to pretend that I'm smarter because like, they just know like stuff.
I mean, if we all grew up in America, they don't really care about other languages. Whereas in Europe, like you're so close, you're like 20 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour from like five different language, like speaking countries. So it's, you have to kind of learn them all, which I wish, you know, let's say over here, we're more in tune to that because it's beneficial in the long run. Yeah. But I do have some, I saw you on Instagram. Was it Instagram or YouTube? There was a video. You had an interview with the head judge,
Jonah.
And yeah, that was an awesome interview. Great to hear a little insight on. So you guys should check that out. But on the event itself and the experience on the judge's end. But he did mention a rule, a weird rule that was potentially could come up. But we never got what the ruling was. I was like, wait, what? How could you leave us hanging? Like, what was the ruling?
He didn't actually. He actually did with the Luke thing, right? Because it's a when play upgrade. He had I don't know if they did get a ruling on that
Well, that's what I was waiting for. I was like, Gil, why aren't you asking him what was the final ruling?
I mean, we weren't really hypothetical at that point.
Right. But for the podcast listeners, the question was, if you play Luke as an upgrade, then eject him, right? Can you play with the Luke leader? Can you put a shield on him because he got played this turn?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But he was originally played as an upgrade. So like, does it count when you eject him? Because then he was played as a unit. And they didn't know, so they actually had. I think they had to actually go to like FFG proper.
So yeah, we're gonna have to reach out to Jonah and get that official ruling. I'm curious now.
Does eject count as playing, or is it just an effect that puts it into play? I think that's the.
Well, because it's already in play. It's already in play, right? So.
But as an upgrade, not as a unit. Right. So it's like
right.
So I will say that like we will get him on the podcast. He has already offered to join the podcast.
Awesome.
It's just a matter of scheduling that logistics, out with Jonah, because he's a pretty busy guy. He's staying in Europe for this week, so he is not moving anywhere. Like because he's going to Liverpool to judge that, and then so that's gonna sense. That's gonna be pretty wild. That tournament was really fun.
So this was the first big, like, this is the first sector.
It's the first sector.
Yeah. Big event, first big event. So for that first big event, from a, you know, perspective of a participant, what was your experience, like, what was your expectation going in, and how did that get met or not met as you experienced it throughout the weekend?
I thought, actually, there was going to be more fanfare. Like, this is the first time, right? You need to have hype, right? I feel like, why was I the hype guy? Like, I literally went out of my way. I went across the world to hype up this event. But, like, I didn't see any FFG staff. Like, you didn't see, like, Tyler there or anything, or, like, Xander or anything. Nothing against them, but I'm just saying, like, this is their first major event. So, like, why is there not more hype for it? Like you should hype it. That's just why you're trying to build the community, right? You're trying to build excitement. And like you had like Jonah and you had some streaming, but like I feel like there should have been more in that sense. Because like the event itself was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was a room full of dudes and some other and some women and children and all like families and stuff. But it was a room full of people that just sat down and played cards all day, right? That we hit the basic expectation right there. It was actually pretty well organized in the sense that like they had everyone sit down. They tried to explain stuff. The microphone system wasn't really good, but like they were churning through stuff. It was the first time, so I'm giving them a break in terms of like things were like late and whatever. They were missing product, which is weird to me. That again, why? Yeah. This is your first time. Like it's kind of wild to me.
Honestly, Gil, I wonder if they're like saving it for the first domestic one, for the first one in the U.S. So what was that, Richmond?
Yeah, no. Denver. First one's to Denver this weekend.
Denver.
This weekend. I mean, they probably are. I part of me didn't know what to expect because, like, you know, like how Star Wars Unlimited has this kind of like idea where it's like a casual game right now. Like, there's a component where people think it's kind of casual, right? And I someone came up to me and talked about that because I talked about it on the podcast. Like, they came up to me and they were saying how like this is like really, really try hard. And at first I was like, yeah, I guess that's right. But then I realized it's a competition. Of course it's gonna be try hard. Like, you know, like you have to, you're gonna play your heart out because you want to win something. I was like, oh, right. Okay. So I think as a spectator, like, don't go into like this thinking it's gonna be casual. Like a PQ, at this level is still kind of casual. You see some people
PQ's
like play
technically a casual event. Yeah. It's not a competitive.
It's a competitive event. It's
smaller though. Yeah,
but the thing is that PQs, you still see people experimenting. You're still gonna see like Rex Greens there, right? Like Rex ECLs. You're still gonna see like
Padawan Unlimited with his Obi-Wan weird. brew deck.
That's what I'm saying. Like the only reason you see like Luke's and stuff playing this is because they're trying to get the showcases. I mean, maybe they the showcase, but like these are like decks that are like are tried and true, and like they're really trying hard. So you need to go there, knowing that with that expectation.
Also,
I'm actually
those 550 people, right?
Yeah,
so this
a
is
lot.
Also the biggest event, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did like how they were learning on the fly, like. From day to day, they were changing, at least from Saturday to Sunday, they were changing how they approached certain things, which I thought was good because it means they're learning. And that's really what matters. And that's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, while I do think that this game has a casual element to it, they've been focused on the competitive element since the get-go. It's just that it's taken a little bit of time for it to ramp up. Like they talked about early on, you know, season zero of competitive events. They talked about, you know, even in the early announcements, it's like, okay, these are your casual events. Like store showdowns are your casual events, but you know, any PQs or anything bigger than that is going to be your competitive events. And they knew that those were coming. So, and I think anytime that you get an IP that's this popular, and I mean, again, we're seeing it more in the Northeast. There's a density of players that are playing this right now, and they're all playing at an incredibly high level, frankly. So like maybe our average experience is also a little bit different. Like we walk into a store and we're playing against PQ winners like on our casual nights. Like that's just what happens around us.
So part of it also is because the such a focus on a competitive scene is good for the competitive scene, obviously, because you want to have a level play, but you're not going to get any growth. The growth is not going to be, this is my opinion, because like one of the reasons why there's such a density of players is because only the same people keep playing and eventually they're going to hit. And it kind of goes back to my original point, like there was no hype because you need, eventually this game is going to lose players because they're not playing they're going to be swapping to other games, and you need to have a growth mindset and you need to like do more than just a competition. Right. And that's a peak. The sector qualifier is a good way to bring a bigger group of people and introduce them into the game because you can make a Star Wars fanfare essentially. And that's to me, it was a missed opportunity. I think.
But counterpoint to that, Gil, though, I mean, there was the big tournament, right? But then there's also the draft pods. There's all those like other smaller events.
All the side events.
Yeah, the side events, right? And it's the same thing that they did at PAX locally around here, where it was like they didn't have any tournament events, which I honestly thought was kind of weird because PAX is such a big event in this area. But they had all the, you know, if you're someone who's just getting into SWU, you could sit down in a draft pod, crack three packs, or go into a sealed event, crack six packs, and play against, you know, play the best deck that you can build out of those cards. And like, there's no real competitive advantage other than if you're playing against someone who knows the cards before you do. You know, you could go in with six of your friends who have never played this before, start a pod and like learn it on the fly with everybody. Those are the types of events like at these larger events that I think are there to kind of help grow the local community.
But you couldn't do that at this. Like, you couldn't. You had to have, like, pretty much pre-registered, essentially. And, like, even then, they didn't start those pods until after round four on day one. And then, after that, you still have to wait 20, 30 minutes after the round started to play. And you only got to be able to, like, if you did the mini tournament, the premium cup, you couldn't do anything else. Like, because they shut down the building right after that. Like, after I was done with that premium cup for the first day, 5 minutes later, after I like, or right after I registered for like a constructive pod, 5 minutes later, I was told they canceled it because they have to shut down the facility. And then the second day,
just freeze?
He did.
Oh.
Okay.
Did I freeze?
Oh, yeah, you froze.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And then the second day, like, two pods, and you have to choose. Are you doing the premium cut? Do you think you can get some wins? Or are you going to go to the constructed events and try to do a pod? Like, you can't.
That was my worry for like Galactic Championships. Like, well, if you're in the main event, how are you doing all these other side events?
Yeah.
Like,
and for the main event, they only gave you whatever tickets was part of your thing. So like, we got 300, but that's only because they gave us extra because they didn't have all the product. We actually were only supposed to get you're only getting like 100 the day of. If you make it to day two, for the Star Wars Limited event, or for the main event, you get an extra 100 tickets.
And that's it?
That's it. So, like, well, you better...
At least off of the prize wall stuff that you were saying, like, some of the stuff was...
The prize wall was like, 500 a card. 500 a card. Like, I think it was a couple... Like, 300 for, like, the soft crate, 200 for the sock, 300 for the sock crate, 2,000 for the play mats, 1,400 for the t-shirts, 500 for the pins. Oh, wait, was the card 500? I think the card was maybe not 500. I think it was like 300. I have to look back. Okay. But I know the pins were 500 a pop. And then packs were like...
What is the Luke and Vader going to be like at? What are we looking at?
I forget. I mean,
if we're doing based off monetary value, like we're saying a playmat's $25, $30. What do they value a showcase at?
Well, so I will... So to get into the premium cup, it was $45. And if you went 4-0, that's enough to get a playmat. So $45 at a minimum to get a playmat. If you get a perfect record in the premium cup. It's pretty wild. I'm going to actually do a video on like, I'll try to do the math a little bit more and like do a video on like, is it worth it if you're a casual to go, or should you just like, or a collector, should you just buy it like from the street? You know, there's something
aftermarket pricing.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, Gil, I think that again, to the original point though, I think these are premier competitive events. So they're kind of catering to the competitive environment here. I do think the fanfare that you're looking for, I think it's more likely going to happen at the Galactic Championship. Because like when I look at the regionals and the sectors, these are like Star City Games tournaments, you know, the Magic regionals or things like that. Like those are the that's the type of event that we're going to where they're kind of sweaty, frankly. You know, you're gonna come in and it's just, as you said, it's a bunch of dudes playing cards or a bunch of people playing cards because it's not just dudes anymore. You know, that's the environment you're walking into. I think the Galactic Championships, and this is what my hope anyways, is that you're going to see a lot more of that fanfare, a lot more of that, like, you know, new player development. I mean, but even look at like our local scene, right? We've gotten two or three new players out at Mythicos, and it's partially been because we've been running more casual events, and now we're starting to run it, like drafts, like sealed events, and now we're starting to roll into the competitive season, quote unquote, because we're about to get a new round of PQs, and you know, so we're doing more sealed and things like that, and those players are still interested in, or not sealed, sorry, constructed. You know, so now we're starting to we're starting to get those new players involved in that and interested in that, and you know, that's how you do it, though. I think with these with a lot of these games, you know, like there's got to be that entry point.
So
you know, miniatures has like the small army games, and then you go into the big army games. Card games, you have draft and sealed, and you go into constructed.
So I don't want to come off as complainy. I think for me, it's just like I like Star Wars so much that I just wanted more. You know, like
and I
love the game so much that I was hoping for more, and not even like prizing. I just wanted more Star Wars. You know, like,
yeah,
give me some type of decoration. You know what I mean? They didn't have any Star Wars decoration.
That's what I was going to mention. I was like, watching your like YouTube videos, Instagram stuff, I was like, there really isn't a lot of like fanfare and or Star Wars posters or banners. Like, yeah. I was expecting to see something
that's what I'm
like that at like, least. And nothing. I get that. This is your first, like, you know, first impression of what these are going to be. Like, go all out on the first one. I would think, like, set the tone of what you're going to get.
I mean,
and I understand the Galactic Championship is that's your, like, big event that you're going to have. And as we've seen, they're really going to push that. They're going to have a lot of events. They're going to have a lot of things for families. They even, like, shouting that out. But this is, like, you're posting these as big competitive things, sector qualifiers, 1,000 people potentially. Like, we had half that here. But, like, yeah, let's get some more.
Yeah,
fanfare. I agree, Gil. I'm on your side.
Yeah, and with that,
I'd love it too. Like, I'm not gonna say no to more Star Wars fanfare. Like, I guess I'm being more realistic about it.
No, you know what? And you're also more experienced than us, so you have a perspective that's just very important, and that's why you need to share that, because we all have different wants, needs, and experiences. And because you have the most experience, like, you can say this with, and it means something, right? Because you know what it's supposed, like, what it's typically going to be. So I appreciate that. I actually have to run to a meeting at 9 p.m. at night. So, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. I will try to make sure that this podcast actually gets sent out into YouTube. Not another lost episode, but I appreciate it. Until next time, everyone, may the force be with you.